Hallelujah. You can open in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have sickness in your body, symptoms in your body, maybe you might even know someone who is sick and you want to stand in for them by proxy this morning, you can do that. We're going to look at some scriptures here this morning by the leading of the Holy Spirit. God knew all the events that were going to surround this service today. Amen. We're going to just minister on the subject of divine healing here this morning briefly. Then we're going to pray for the sick. Amen. If you have sickness in your body, if you'd open in your Bible to Isaiah 53 in that Amplified Bible, please. Hallelujah. You get ready to be prayed for. Amen. Flu symptoms, cold symptoms, shortness of breath, growths, tumors in your body that don't belong there. Amen? Vision difficulty, hearing difficulty in Jesus' name. Your body just doing things it shouldn't be doing. We're going to be praying for you this morning in this place. Amen? Isaiah chapter 53 is a prophecy. Isaiah speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 53. Let's pick it up right here. Jesus, he's talking about in verse 3, says Jesus is, he's speaking into the future now, amen, he is despised, Jesus, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. That word is actually pains. Is that pains in the Amplified Bible? It's talking about physical pain, amen, and acquainted with grief. Is that word sickness in the Amplified Bible? Jesus is a man of pain, acquainted with sickness, because he bore it on the cross. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Amplified Bible says, surely he has borne our sicknesses, our physical sicknesses, the Bible says. Jesus bore them at Calvary's cross and carried our sorrows. Amplified Bible, a much better rendition, says pains. Physical pains. Yes, emotional pain, but yes, physical pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. See, the people of the world at the time thought that Jesus was being punished by God when he went to Calvary's cross, when we were being punished in Jesus, for our sins, amen? But he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his, our. Notice the use of the word our. The chastisement of our peace, physical peace, emotional and spiritual peace, was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, or through his stripes, bodily healing has been provided in the atonement. I shouldn't even call it the atonement, amen? Because an atoning is a covering over of sin. Jesus in redemption, the blood of Jesus, has washed away our sin. Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm going to say it again as believers. If you're not yet acquainted with Deuteronomy chapter 28, you must needs acquaint yourself with Deuteronomy chapter 28, for there you will find the curses of disobedience and the blessings of obedience. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, you'll find the blessings of obedience. In verses 15 through 68, you will find the curses for disobedience. Those are all curses Christ has redeemed us from over there in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Amen? You will find by reading that chapter that sickness is a penalty for sin. Physical sickness is a penalty for sin. I'm not saying God puts it on you. The devil puts it on you. Amen? Sometimes he does it when we're in sin. Other times he does it just because he just attacks us and challenges our faith. Either way, we have authority over physical sickness and physical disease, because physical sickness and physical disease are penalties for sin, and the Bible says Jesus has borne our sin at Calvary's cross. If he bore the sin, then it only stands to reason he bore the punishment for the sin. That's why all the sicknesses and all the diseases of the world, Isaiah said, collided with him on that cross. Jesus was never sick a day in his life. You go read the Gospels, you'll never find Jesus calling in sick. Never once. He never suffered sickness during his earth walk. When he bore sin, when he became sick, when he bore sickness on Calvary's cross, and all the sickness in the world collided with Jesus on the cross that day. Isaiah said it was going to happen. Isaiah said it was. Now go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at what Matthew said about what Isaiah said. Matthew refers back to what Isaiah prophesied Jesus was going to do. That he was going to come and bear our sins and bear the penalty for our sins. One of the penalties is sickness. Another one is poverty. Another one is eternal separation from God. But the Holy Spirit put it on my heart standing over here this morning to minister to you, not on the glory today. You come back next week and we're going to be talking about the glory again. Amen. So the Lord knew what was going to happen here at the Holiday Inn today. Amen. Well, why didn't he tell you ahead of time? Probably because I wouldn't have believed him. If he said to me, minister on divine healing this morning, the pipe's going to burst at the Holiday Inn, I think I would have said, Father, I'd rather stick with the glory. What if the pipe doesn't burst? Amen? Hallelujah. But the pipe did burst. I came here prepared to minister on the glory. We're not going to go that direction. He showed me standing up there, you minister healing from my word and then lay hands on the sick. And that's what we're going to do here today. Now, Isaiah spoke prophetically about Jesus coming to bear our sins and sicknesses. And here Matthew refers back to what Isaiah said. Let's pick it up in verse 14. It says, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He found Peter's mother-in-law with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Amen? Jesus and his disciples. You know, God doesn't get glory out of sickness. He might get glory in spite of the fact that someone's sick, but he doesn't get glory because someone is sick. Amen? We need to be up in health ministering to Jesus and ministering to the people of this world. Amen? And when the evening time was come, Matthew said, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed some that were sick. All that were sick. He cast out the spirits with his word. You know, just the proper preaching of the word will drive out demon spirits. It makes them leave people. Just the proper preaching of God's word. You don't even have to tell them to go in many cases. They just go. Because of the authority of God's word. And he healed all that were sick. Didn't refuse any who came. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which we just read in Isaiah 53, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. Why? Because he took our sin upon himself, and sickness is a penalty for sin. Therefore, because Jesus has forgiven your sins, if you belong to him today, you need not be bearing sickness in your body. And if you are, you need to rise up and take authority over it. Amen? We're going to do that here today. Amen? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would, please. Some healing scriptures. We're going to pray for the sick, and then we're going to dismiss. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 1 Peter chapter 2. You have to want to be free of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to want to be free of sin. Amen. You have to want to live right. You want to live right, God will work with you. Amen. Some people pretend to be that which they never intend to be. Did you hear that? Some people pretend to be that which they never intend to be. Can't play around with Christianity. It's all or nothing. Amen? If you want to give your all to God, He'll give His all to you, to us. Amen? Let me say that again. Some people pretend to be that which they never intend to be. There's no room in Christianity for pretense. It's not religion. It's not like the other religions of the world. Amen? There's no room for pretense in Christianity. Look right here. I'm just talking to you by the Spirit of God. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Hallelujah. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Cross is made of a tree. That we being dead to sins, please say sins. See, it's talking about Jesus dying for our sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let's look at it again. Who His own self, Jesus, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we now being dead to sin, should live unto His righteousness, or His right standing with God, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now somebody said, why is Peter here talking about sins and suddenly changing the subject to healing? Why is he emphasizing the fact that Jesus Christ bore our sins in His body on the cross, and then suddenly change the subject and say, by whose stripes ye were healed? Well, Peter's not changing the subject. Amen? Go to James chapter 5, and I'll explain it to you if you would, please. James chapter 5. He says, Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed, because sickness is a penalty for sin. Peter's pointing out here that Jesus has borne our sins on the cross made from a tree, which means automatically you qualify for divine healing if you believe, because sickness is a penalty for sin. He didn't change the subject. It's all the same to God. Amen? You know, God can't forgive us our sins without us qualifying for healing. And we can't qualify for healing without being forgiveness for our sins. Remember the man on the pallet? I know I asked you to go to James. The man, the sick man on the pallet, and Jesus said, rise up and be healed. Behold, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees flipped out. The Pharisees flipped out. They said, now we can understand your healing, but who do you think you are to forgive? And Jesus said to the Pharisees, in essence, okay, let's put it the way you like to hear it. I won't say your sins be forgiven. I just say rise up and be healed and your sins will be automatically forgiven. How's that? He was saying to the Pharisees. I can't do one without the other. I cannot forgive you without making healing available to you. And I can't heal you without making forgiveness available to you. It's all the same in God's mind. Does that make sense to you? Those guys flipped out. They said, listen, healing's one thing, but forgiveness is another. And it's the opposite of what people do today. Today, Christians say, so, you know, evangelicals, non-charismatic, non-Pentecostals, they say, forgiveness is one thing, but you can't heal today, Jesus. Back then, the religious leaders said, heal, but don't forgive. Today, religious leaders say, he forgives, but he doesn't heal. Well, they're both wrong. The word's right. Amen? Look right here in James chapter 5. I'm going to have to get over there too. I want you to know God wants healing to be wrought in your body. Amen? He's not leaving you sick to teach you anything. Amen? Look right here in James chapter 5. If He's going to teach you something, He's going to teach you with His Word, like He's doing right here and now today. Amen? God does not teach with sickness. God does not teach with disease. Amen? God teaches with His Word. We're here in James chapter 5. Look right here in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Here's what we want to look at. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You can anoint if you want to. You don't necessarily have to. And look right here. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, or heal the sick. That's what that word is. And the Lord shall raise him or the sick person up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Do you see here? When the elders of the church pray for your healing, you're automatically forgiven. Unless you don't want to be forgiven, you speak up and say so. But what fool in their right mind would do that? And what person in their right mind would do that? James said, call for the elders of the church, let them pray, anointing them with oil. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, and if you have any sins, they'll be forgiven. Why? Because James understood that sickness is a penalty for sin. And Jesus bore our sin on Calvary's cross. Therefore, we don't have to be sick anymore if we don't want to be. Amen? Are you getting anything out of that? Can you see that? Sickness is a penalty for sin? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, please. Sickness is a penalty for sin. Sickness is a penalty for sin. Sickness is not a method of teaching. It's not a biblical method for teaching. Amen? Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I've asked you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to pray for you here in a couple of minutes, so you get ready to receive. Amen? Paul told young Pastor Timothy, he said, the Word of God, not sickness and not disease, not accidents, not incidents, not injuries, the Word of God is profitable for reproof, rebuke, correction, and instruction in righteousness, not sickness. He was telling Timothy, in essence, God uses His Word to reprove us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to instruct us. He doesn't use sickness. He doesn't use poverty. He doesn't use separation from God to reprove, to rebuke, to correct, or to instruct. He uses the Word. Amen? He does not use sickness to correct. I'm going to say it again. I said it a moment ago. God might get glory in spite of the fact that someone is sick, but God never in Scripture, never in Scripture, and never outside of Scripture has God ever gotten glory by making somebody sick. And there's a difference. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're talking about, it's how the Holy Spirit's leading me this morning, amen? We're talking about the fact that sickness is a penalty for sin. Jesus has borne your sins, therefore He has borne the penalty of your sin, which is physical sickness. It is God's will to heal you. It's always God's will to heal. Always, 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 always God's will to heal. Well, Pastor, how come everybody doesn't receive healing? Because everybody doesn't meet the conditions for healing. There are conditions. He's not a sugar daddy. He doesn't just splat you with healing if you don't qualify. You have to qualify. You have to keep the sin out of your life. You have to get the... You know over there, you're at 2 Corinthians 5. I haven't forgotten where I asked you to go. I've shared with you many times here in past weeks. In Mark chapter 6, you're probably very acquainted with it by now. How in Mark chapter 6, 1 through 6, when Jesus went to His own hometown, back to the community He grew up in, the Bible says He could do no mighty works there. Why? Because of the unbelief of His town folk, they refused to believe. Some people of the religious mindset, I don't care what the Bible says. I believe God's teaching me with my sickness. That's unbelief. That's ignorance gone to seed. Amen? As Christians, we need to build our entire belief system on the Word of God. On the Word of God. We have to go with the Word even when it goes crosswise with our religion. When it goes crosswise with our politics. When it goes crosswise with our personal opinions or the way Mama or Daddy taught us. We're obligated as believers to go with the Word. 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 And the Word reveals that it's always God's will to heal, but everyone doesn't always get healed because everybody doesn't meet the conditions. If you believe in that God's using sickness to teach you, or that He wants you to keep your affliction to humble you, you're not going with the Word. That's not what the Word says. The Bible says, by His stripes you are healed. You're not the sick trying to get healed. You're the healed, and the devil's trying to make you sick. Or the devil has made you sick, and he's trying to entice you to hold on to your sickness by deceiving you with doctrine that's not biblical. How are we doing up here today? I'm just trying to get across to you today. Healing is always God's will. Always, always, always God's will. It's a penalty for sin. And He's borne our sins in His body on the cross. God would be a hypocrite to put our sins and the penalty for our sins on Jesus and then turn around and put them on us. That would make God a hypocrite. And God's not a hypocrite. Amen. Look right here, 2 Corinthians 5. These are scriptures that you know, and we're going to pray here in a minute. Amen. Hallelujah. For He, God, 21. For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He made Jesus to be sin. Or to be a sin offering for us. Jesus didn't actually become sin. He became a sin offering. Just like the animals in the Old Testament, there were sin offerings. Jesus became the ultimate sin offering. Animal offerings in the Old Testament covered the sins of the people. That's the best they could do. That's why they had to be offered continually, 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 because the people kept sinning. And the sins were just covered. They weren't wiped away. But Jesus, the Bible says, became sin, the ultimate sin offering, and paid the ultimate price for every sin ever committed and every sin that would ever be committed, even after His crucifixion. He eradicated the sin problem. Sin is no longer a problem between you and God, whether you know it or not. Unless you openly defy His Word. And even if you do, you can just ask Him to forgive you, and you can requalify. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we get to start all over again, requalifying for the benefits of forgiveness, one of which is divine healing. Can you see this in the Word of God today? Can you see in the Word of God it's God's will to heal? It's always God's will to heal. If you'd stand up, please, I'd appreciate that. If you have sickness in your body this morning, I want to lay my hands on you. Maybe you want to stand in for somebody else. You'd like us to just agree with you and release our faith on behalf of someone else. You come this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. You just come right up here. You know how the drill. You know the drill. You line up right across the front here. Amen. And we'll come and we'll minister to you. We'll lay hands on you one at a time, person by person. If you have sickness in your body, if you have sickness in your mind, if you need to be strengthened in your mind, that's healing as well. If you need to be strengthened in your soul, in Jesus' name, you come too. If you have physical sickness in your body, if you have a growth in your body, it's not supposed to be there. It's not supposed to be there. Amen? If you've been bleeding, and you've been concerned about that area of your body that continues to bleed and doesn't heal, you need to come up here. You need to come up here. Amen. Brando, let's just worship God. Let's just worship Him. This is the time to worship God. This is the time to worship God. Someone you love needs quickening in their body. We can pray for them. We can agree for them. Brando seki perrota saparago de ki perroma negese de ki pre. Fredeso guparo do seperigiste. The Bible says He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You've been having problems with blood sugar. You've been having pains in your chest, and you've not wanted to tell anyone. You need to come in Jesus' name. Let the Holy Spirit do what only He can do. Amen. Mano segi peroto saga parageste. Someone's been having problems in your gums. You've been having problems with your gums. I don't know whether they're inflamed. I shouldn't say I don't know. It's either inflammation or bleeding of some sort. Maybe somebody, a tooth is loosened and our teeth are loosened. They need to be tightened. You need to come. God's calling you. God's calling you. God's not upset with anybody in here today. We had to receive a little instruction, but we can take it. We can take it. Amen? We're not a bunch of babies around here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sagge per de Simone regesse teke. Ambako do seke perete seke pre. Now I'm going to lay my hands on you. And it's your responsibility to expect the power of God to come into you and to come upon you in the name of Jesus. Sambaruko seperede. You just pull on the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just continue to worship God. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing here now. Come on, He's wanting to bless here today. The Bible says in Luke 5:17. That the Spirit of God was present even to heal His enemies. You can read that in your Bible after you leave here today. In Luke 5:17. The Spirit of God was present to heal even Jesus' enemies. But they did not receive. You can receive. You're not His enemy. How much more is His presence here today to heal you? Ah, man, no. Who's got the gum problem? We're going to pray for the people. Whoever's got the gum in our teeth problems, we want to pray for you first. That's what we're just to be doing here. Amen. You'd come out here in front of the line. Who's having problems, oral problems? Who's having oral problems? So, paraga seki peto ke pedinde. Ege mano seki paruta sabaragasto. Frandeso ki perete se ki perugoshe me nagasa take. Get ready to receive a touch from heaven, Timothy, in the name of Jesus. Father, I release Your anointing into His body, into His mouth, His lips, His teeth, His gums. I command this infection, this infirmity, this affliction, this attack of the devil, whatever it might be, to cease and desist. For swelling and inflammation to go, infection to leave, teeth to tighten, pain to stop. Satan, stop the harassment in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is the power of God. You just receive that. You just walk out of here today expecting the situation in your mouth to be reversed, to get better and better and better. Hallelujah. 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 You wake up tomorrow to a tremendous difference. And just keep praising Him for it. Keep praising Him for it. Hallelujah. And don't be fooled, says the Spirit of God. If the devil kicks up and tries to make it appear to be worse, that's to get you to back off and stop believing. Keep on believing right through it. And you'll receive the full manifestation of healing in your mouth. In Jesus' name. Terry, in Jesus' name, you receive the same blessing, the same impartation. If somebody else is having oral difficulty, you need to be up here in the front right now in your mouth in Jesus' name and just receive the anointing, the healing touch of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. How, if it flares up, use wisdom. Tell the devil, I know what you're doing. You're not welcome to do it here. By His stripes, let's say it together, by His stripes, I am healed in Jesus' name. Receive impartation in your mouth, in your teeth, in your gums. And as I lay hands on you, let me just remind you of the email that came from Reverend Dykes 2 weeks ago from India. He went into the dentist's office to have a root canal and a crown put on his tooth, and the dentist said, "Mr. Dykes, someone's already done that root canal and put that crown on your tooth." And he told me, "Brother John, I didn't have that done. I went in there to have it done. The Holy Ghost did it." Father, we believe for the same here today in our mouths, God. All oral difficulties to be repaired, be restored, and be made whole. Is there someone else who needs to step up front here? We're praying for those with oral difficulties first. Amen. Go out of here believing. Go out of here expecting it to get better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.